Welcome to the Christ-Centered Podcast. My name is Melody Ayakunu, Mel for short. I'll be your host for today. Each week, we'd have conversations on spiritual growth, would share insights and tips for practical Christian living. I want to remind you that you are not alone, so sit back and enjoy the ride. Welcome to the Christ-Centered Podcast. I am Mel and I am your host. If you're new to this podcast, I say welcome. You are at the right place at the right time, listening to the right podcast from the right host. If you're with us in the previous episode of this season, I appreciate your love and support for this platform. Guys, I would have said guess what, but you already know the deal. We have our first guest on the podcast, TCC 2.0. Drum rolls. His name is Rio Bowles, and I fondly call him Rio. Rio is my very good friend and is someone I respect and admire so much, especially for his passion for bringing young people into the experience of intimacy with the Holy Ghost. He's a minister of God, and maybe the next time he comes on the podcast, I'll be calling him Pastor Rio. And you know me, I'm impatient. I started calling him Pastor Rio. But he's always like, please stop, please stop, please stop. Okay. Hello, Rio.
Hello, Melody. And please, I'm not a pastor. Please. I am not.
I said it. Okay, how are you today? How's your day going?
I'm doing great, and you? How was your day, too?
Fine. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to do this with me, despite your busy schedule, Pastor Rio.
It's a privilege. It's a privilege I don't take for granted. I'm grateful for the work the Lord is doing through you in this space. You know, you see a lot of podcasts on social media, and you wonder, why do these people have data? They're supposed to seize their phones and lock them inside one cave.
This is the microphone, first of all.
Exactly. So I'm grateful to God that he's sending people like you into this space to make a difference and be his voice even in this space. The Lord will continually grant you strength in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Okay, everyone. What we have to talk about today is super important. Today's episode is titled, Why Should I Be Saved? What does salvation even mean? Real, these are valid questions, right? What do you think?
Yeah, very, very valid questions. Very valid questions. For we young people, as knowledge increases, there is unfortunately a departure from the pattern that God has laid down in scripture for living. People are beginning to question the existence of God, why he should be followed, why he should be served. And it's quite a serious bone of contention when you find that people are now beginning to question the existence of the very thing that makes for them to exist.
Right.
It reveals a lot of deficiency. So yeah, this question is very timely, and I hope that God will help us to bring light to it even as we discuss in a few short minutes.
Amen. Oh, amen. Okay, so first of all, let's start with what salvation is. I mean, what is salvation? Oh yeah, salvation of my soul, salvation of my soul. To a layman, what does it even mean?
I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible. Salvation is very straightforwardly God reaching out to man in his love to save man from sin, condemnation, and death, which man was put in on account of his fall from grace in the book of Genesis chapter 3, a story that we are very conversant with. Man fell in the Garden of Eden. Man existed almost like God, by God's design in creation. But when man subscribed to the suggestion of Satan in the form of a serpent, now who spoke to Eve and caused her to eat the apple that God had clearly stated that they shouldn't eat, man had in defiance told God that I have a new method that I want to now live by. And that caused man to be brought into an economy of sin, debt, and corruption. And what a lot of people do not know is that one very painful thing that happened in the book of Genesis, very painful, people just read it passively. And I feel like while I studied for this, the Holy Ghost drew my attention to it once again. People just go through it passively and they don't understand that it is quite important. What happened there was very, very, it was, I would call it scary. I would call it scary because what God did in Genesis 3 was that he judged mankind. He actually judged mankind. After Adam ate the apple, he judged mankind. If you read from Genesis 3 verse 13, where God began to address the woman, the serpent, and the man, it was not fun. In Genesis 3 verse 17, and the Bible says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18 says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So it was in that place that death was introduced into creation. Everything God created was designed to exist forever on the strength of his life. In other words, the life of God, which we refer to now as Zoe, doesn't contain death in itself. It is a life that is in itself internal. It is an eternal life that does not die. That was the life Adam was supposed to exist in. But on account of his alliance and cooperation with the devil, God had now judged him and creation. And everything is now migrating in the direction of perishing. So, John 3:17 now brings us into what now makes for salvation. It says, for God so loved the world. Because if you also read that John 3, there's a very funny, what I would call Easter egg that God drops even in his judgment. He says, and I will put an enmity, this Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's King James Version. If you read it with Message, it says, I'm declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will wound your head, you will wound his heel. This was God talking to Satan. It means that even right there where man had fallen, God was already beginning to weave a plan that would restore man to his original plan.
Right.
So salvation in its simplest form, is God coming down to express love to man. That is the simplest form. It is God granting amnesty to sinful man. That is how I would define salvation, man.
Wow, that's profound. Okay, so now, with everything you said, why should anyone be saved? If anyone asks that question, like, why should I be saved?
This question is one that I come across quite a lot. And again, I must state that I celebrate the grace of God upon your life, because you see, a lot of young people like high sounding things, very high sounding. They like things that are complicated.
I promise you that.
Thank you. You know this. I can promise you that. if we decide to have this teaching on site, people will get bored.
True.
Because they feel like salvation. What is salvation? Meanwhile, if we actually troubleshoot salvation, we'll find that many of us are in church. We are not actually saved.
This is very spot on, very apt.
We are in church, we are in choir, we are in ushering unit, we are in sanctuary keepers, we are in prayer unit, but we are not saved. But God will give us light. So why should anyone be saved? I will start by asking a question. If, God forbid, this is hypothetically speaking, if you were going to die tomorrow, and I told you this night, Pastor Melody, there was something I could save you, but it would cost over 10 million naira, what would you do?
Okay, that if there's something you will give me so I live, I don't die, right? Right?
Yes, definitely.
I'll do everything, even if it's to steal the money. I'll do everything to get that 10 million naira, just so I can leave.
Yeah. That reveals that man is designed to want to live. Mm. That's dope. In other words, the very crave for immortality is not physical. Our desire to not die is not physical. It is our predesigned nature to want to live forever. We were not created to just die. We are designed to live forever. So, I would say there are three reasons why people should see the need to be saved. Number one is the human condition. The Bible says in Romans 3 verse 23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All, not some, all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. It means that from the day you were born, if God was to judge you in the entirety of his person, you would not survive 1 minute.
Right.
Because in that state where your mother pushed you out in the hospital, you have already fallen short of the glory of God. Because what came out with you is the Adamic nature. And the Adamic nature is rebellion and disobedience.
Right.
And the Bible says our God is too holy to behold iniquity. Now, if that God who is too holy to behold iniquity, whom we had rebelled against before, decided to come down as man and be killed by men so that he can save men, has now reached out to you with the hand of love. And he's not telling you, come, let me save you. It is only wise that you take that offer. But if you still want to argue intellectually, let's examine John 3:16 once again. For God so loved the world, very popular scripture. I tell people, I say, when you read the Bible, don't read the Bible like a storybook. As you open the Bible, beg the Holy Ghost to help you. Otherwise, you will not realize that the Bible is a portal. It can open you to many things.
Right.
The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world first. He loved the world first, though. It's not we that loved him first, though. He loved the world. What that love now made him do was to give his only begotten son. Now, even after he gave the only begotten son, he did not say we should believe in him by force. Do you see the extent of the love? The love did not even come with conscription. He said that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What that means implicatively is, whosoever does not believe in him shall perish and not have everlasting life. So what it means is that what Adam ushered into time with his rebellion in Genesis was that man was headed for only one destination, and that destination was to perish. Sending Jesus to come and die for us was God's immunization against that destination. So God saw that if I allow creation to go on like this, if I allow man to go on like this and I don't interfere, man will end up being a wasteful investment for heaven. Because if we have invested so much in creating man in our image and in our likeness, and they rebelled less than 3 days after creation, it would mean that the whole resources that we put together to create man was all in vain. So heaven went into a brainstorming session, and it was in that brainstorming session that Isaiah was able to peep into that meeting and found out that the question that was asked was, who will I send? So God had to look into himself, send his only begotten son to come and die. And then somebody is now asking, why should I be saved? The reason you should be saved is because the wages of sin is death. Yes, what I'm telling you, because me, when I talk to young people, I like to be as plain as possible. You know, if you are using big English, they will think that it's not as bad as you are saying. The reason why you should be saved is that if you are not saved, you are going to die. And when I say die, I don't mean physical death. But physical death is, if you ask me, the sweetest kind of death. Based on what scripture describes for us. You know, man is a tripartite being. He's made of spirit, soul, and body. The death that is referred to in Romans chapter 6, verse 23 is the death of your spirit.
Right.
Is the death of your spirit. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What it means is that when you were born into time, the nature of sin was already in your spirit. Because your father is Adam. So you entered into time with a sinful nature. That's why Paul would say, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the curse of sin?" It means that as soon as man enters time, the first thing he has to deal with is the fact that in his nature he is sinful. People jokingly ask, who teaches a child how to lie?
Right.
A child gets to a certain age, the child pinches you and runs away. What makes the child know that what he's doing is bad? It is a nature. So the reason why you should give your life to Christ or why you should be saved is that there is a nature of sin in you, and the purpose of that nature is to kill you. The Bible says in John chapter 10 verse 10, it says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the end point of everything that originates from Satan is to destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come that they might have life, and have it more abundantly. That is what God now offers, life abundantly. If you go through scripture, everywhere God juxtaposed what he's giving with what Satan is giving, it always ended with life and death. Even in the New Testament, Joshua would say, I put before you this day life and death. Choose life that you may live. So every time there was a comparison, it was between life and death, not even good and evil. So it means that man is designed to live forever. But unfortunately, Satan introduced an alien nature. The other reason why people should give their life to Christ is because there should be a yearning for redemption. If you go to scripture, one man that intrigues me in the Bible is David. David will say in Psalm 51 verse 10, he will say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Paul would say, the things that I will not that I do, those are the things that I do. What he's saying is that the things that I don't want to do, I find that I can do them easily. The ones that I want to do, I cannot do them.
Right. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
So, the flesh is weak because of the nature of sin that resides in a man's spirit. I'm privileged to have the grace to counsel some young people. And you see that some of them are struggling with addictions, with some level of demonic oppression. And forget the external gaga that they are doing. When you sit down with them and by the help of the Holy Spirit speak to them, you find that they honestly want to live a better life.
as if something is weighing them, something is pressing on them that you cannot live here. You cannot live here. That thing that's pressing on them is called the nature of sin. It is something that should make you look for help, and the help you should find is salvation. So in summary, what everyone that is not saved should see as the reason to be saved is threefold. Number one, the human condition, which is the nature of sin. Number two is the consequence of that nature, which is death. And number three is the fact that if someone out of love gave you his life, it is only reasonable that the best form of appreciation you give to that person is to give him your life in return. That is what it should be. Thank you, ma'am.
Wow, that was profound. Okay, so the final question I have for you is for you to tell the audience what being saved will do to someone. Like, what benefit will anyone derive from being saved? Just imagine someone who probably has other options, right? Evangelism is like, someone can say evangelism is like you're trying to market something of eternal value to someone. So if someone that has not really gotten the depths of the knowledge of the truth, how would you tell someone? What would you tell someone are the benefits of being saved?
When I began my work with the Lord, one prayer I earnestly began to pray was, I don't want to be a mediocre Christian. You know, there's a notion among young people that when you decide to become a serious Christian, your life becomes boring. Yeah. You think your life becomes boring, your life becomes monotonous. You just go to church, go to fellowship, pray, come home, go to work, go to church, pray, come home. You think your life just revolves in 1 second. And it's very funny. Now, there is, I'm going to look at this in a few folds. I'll trust the Holy Ghost to help me to be as quick as possible. Now, there is the transformative power of salvation. There is the regenerative work, of salvation. Now, there are different kind of people that need to be saved. Let me explain. The people that ask the question, why should I be saved, are people that oftentimes have not really experienced demonic wickedness or satanic wickedness. You know, you're a pastor yourself. You come around young men and women who God has helped. Let me just, God is showing them mercy. They have a good job. They're living in a good place. They live in Abuja or Lagos or Port Harcourt. They have a ride. Things are going well by human standard. So in their mind, they're like, why do I need to stress myself? All these church things. I have the things that I need.
Right.
There's something the Holy Ghost made me understand last year. Let me ask you a question, Pastor May. I'm sorry I'm asking a lot of questions. I like to be practical in my discussions. If after this podcast, I ask you to send me your account number, and I sent you 10 million naira cash, you would almost fly down to where I am to thank me personally.
Right.
That in this economy, you just dash somebody 10 million. Now, after you thank me and all, imagine that next year, you are discussing with a mutual friend that we both have, and you're telling the person, my God, Real Boat's such a nice person. This time last year, he gave me 10 million naira. And the person tells you, just 10 million. He was supposed to give you 100 million. In that moment, the 10 million I gave to you will suddenly lose its value, because you will realize that you could have had more. Unfortunately, this is the case with most people. Or people that often ask the question, what will salvation do for me? What they are living is a surcharged version of what they would actually have if they gave their lives to God.
So they're looking at the cars that they have, the connections they have, the house they're living in, the assets that they have at hand, and they feel like everything is going fine. Meanwhile, they could actually be more. They could be more. So imagine Saul in the Bible, a lawyer, a respected teacher of the law. He was the one that was bearing the persecution banner for the Romans. I don't think there was any honor higher than that in his time. As far as Saul was living for the Romans, he was at the zenith of human accomplishment. But if he had continued on that path, he would never have been Paul. And even he would later say that he counts everything but dung for the excellency of Jesus Christ. But the question is, if a man that was a lawyer, a respected teacher of the law, a Roman, Saul had all the advantages that anybody could have in his time. He had it. But when he met Jesus, he realized that everything that he thought was an advantage was utter rubbish compared to that which he was now having. So the transformative power of salvation, since I'm going to be talking to young people now, the transformative nature of power of salvation as to what you do for you when you are saved, it is robust. The first thing to do for you is adoption. Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7, I think, it says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." We have many young people struggling with addictions today. We have many young people struggling from the fallout of broken homes. We have a lot of young people struggling with heartbreak and a lot of things that are weighing down on them. The first thing that giving your life to Christ will afford you is adoption into the fold. You will not have a father that you can assess. You have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. You can come to him and say, "Today I feel hurt." And if you are sincere enough, you can feel him reach out to you and tell you, "My child, I see you, I hear you, and I will help you." Adoption. It brings you into a family that cares about you. A father that has said that he knows the number of every single strand of hair on your head. It brings you into adoption. The second thing that the transformative power of salvation affords you if you decide to be saved is justification. Like I said, by God's grace, I meet a lot of young people in ministry. And you find people that tell you, "I don't think God can forgive me.
Right.
I don't feel like not my type, God defined." Justification. One thing that Christianity affords you is justification and sanctification of the believer through the finished work of Christ. Through the finished work of Christ. Titus 3 verse 5 would say, "He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." So it gives you justification. All the guilt that you are holding on to, the pain that's in your heart as to, "I have done this, I have done that, I cannot be loved anymore, I cannot be accepted," Jesus takes it all away in a snap. I've had a point to minister salvation to people. Pastor Mel, you won't believe it. somebody comes to you bearing the load of fornication, the load of addiction to pornography, to masturbation, and you lead them to Christ, and there and then they break down. Tears flow from their eyes. They feel, and when you ask them to describe it, they say it's like a weight was lifted from their shoulders, literally. Because sin is a weight.
Right.
They tell you that they feel light. Some of them call you the next day and tell you for the first time in 15, 13, 20 years, they slept peacefully for the first time. So it brings you justification. You are justified. There is no guilt. You don't look at your past and say, I am who I used to be. When Jesus met the woman by the Samaritan woman by the well, when he finished talking to her, the Bible says she went to see and said, come and see a man. Come and see a man. That is the result of someone that has encountered salvation. She was no longer seen as a woman who had married 5 husbands. Do you know the confidence that came upon a woman who was known in the community as an adulterer? The confidence that came upon her to go back to the same city and be doing an announcement door to door and say, come and see a man. She had been justified. She had been justified. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This the NIV now. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the way you live now after salvation is that when God looks at you, he doesn't see you.
Says Jesus, right.
When he looks at you, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he will do for his Son, my God, is what he will do for you. All that he can give to Jesus, he can give to you. Everything that makes Jesus Jesus, he can give you, because when he looks upon you, you are now his child, you are his son, you are his daughter. You have received the spirit of adoption by which you can now cry, Abba, Father.
Yes.
Bible says in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Are you battling with cultism? Are you struggling with demonic oppression? Are you struggling with addiction? Are you struggling with any manner of satanic manifestation in your space? The solution is salvation.
Hey.
Salvation. So what salvation does for the saved is to break and cut every tie that they have with the nature of sin, with Satan, with the workings of Satan in their life. It gives you a new standpoint to begin to live. The Bible says, whoever believes in Christ is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things, not some, all things have become new. Bible says, though your sin be as red as scarlet, I, the Lord, will make them as white as snow. Come on.
Right.
When men forgive you, men remember. When you do something, they refer to it, but God, Jesus is not like that. Bible says, when he forgives you, he throws your past in the ocean of forgetfulness. Doesn't remember it. If you could use David, if you could use Saul, who can he not use?
Right.
Can he not use? So what it gives you, in summary, all I'm saying is that the benefit of salvation to somebody who decides to be saved is that it gives you a fresh start. It gives you a fresh start. A fresh start. When you begin to walk with God, everything becomes your advantage.
Right.
When I read the Bible and find out that Moses began his walk with God at 80, and look at the mighty things that he did. 80 years old. That's when Moses began to do work for God. 80. That means even age is not a disadvantage if you choose to give your life to Christ. There is so much that God can do with your life. So much. That's someone that's 80 years. Imagine you give your life to Christ at 25, 19, 28, 30, 35. You have so much benefits that God can, through your life, reveal in your space.
Right.
Suddenly, I feel the need to say this. If you're struggling with giving your life to Christ, you're struggling with giving your life to Christ, I want to assure you that it's a battle. Yes, I sense this really strongly in my spirit. That if you're listening to this and you feel like you've tried to give your life to Christ so many times, but you cannot. You know, I've encountered people who will tell you, you preach to them and they'll tell you, I cannot give my life to Christ. They are not the ones talking.
Right.
They're not the ones. It is the spirit in them that is speaking. I had the opportunity to hear a story from a woman of God. She said she went to preach to a young man and he told her, I cannot give my life to Christ. When the Holy Ghost would reveal to her that this young man had a spirit wife. And she interceded for him all through the night. The next morning, the young man came to meet her and said, I don't know what happened, but now I feel like I can give my life to Christ.
Are you serious? Wow.
Shocking. The young man came to meet her himself and like, I can give my life to Christ now.
Wow, are you serious?
So there is a lot that giving your life to Christ will do for you. So if you are struggling to give your life to Christ, let this be an alarm to you that you can and you should. It is the best decision you would ever make. The best decision. Time will fail me to tell you the so many advantages that giving my life to Christ when I did has given to me as a person. Maybe on a different episode we'll discuss that, but I can assure you for free, I know it like I know my name, that giving your life to Christ is not a disadvantage in any way. Except you come into the fold trying to pretend one leg in, one leg out. But if you come into the fold with your heart open, my goodness, you will look at yourself in as little as 6 months and be amazed at what God has done with you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be amazed. So I can assure you for free that giving your life to Christ gives you the advantage of severing yourself from everything that is Satan sponsored in your life. That is all it affords you. Thank you, Ma.
Wow. I'm so blessed. That was so profound. Wow. I'm sure anyone who's listening right now is, you know, just as blessed as I am right now. Well, thank you so much Rio, for this amazing session. And to everyone, we've come to the end of this episode, and I'm sure you've got questions. I'm sure there are a lot of questions like lingering in your mind right now. I'm sure you have something to say. I mean, you're listening to me right now, you want to make comments, you want to ask, most especially ask questions. I'm going to be tagging Rio's Instagram handle, and if you don't want to reach him directly, you can also send your question to us on Instagram at the Christ Centered Podcast on Instagram. So everyone, we've come to the end of this episode. I was super blessed. I'm definitely going back to listen over and over again, because I'm sure that I, even from what I've learned today, there's so much more I can, you know, go tell other people when I step out there to evangelize. I can answer this valid question of what does salvation mean, or, you know, why should I even be saved? Because I think I've gotten to that. Yeah, and in the last episode, I mentioned that a partner and I went out for evangelism, and then we were talking to one Muslim man, and he had a lot of questions to ask, and this was actually one of the questions. It was like, okay, I mean, you know, when someone is so adamant, you know, the person has never read the Bible before, so he doesn't even know, he hasn't come into the knowledge of the truth. So it was just like all about asking questions, and at some point, anyone who's not strong might even start to question what he or she believes. Do you get?
Yeah,
so one of the questions yeah, one of the questions he actually asked was, why should I be saying, okay, why are you telling me? Like, what makes this better than what I, because the guy seemed to, it sounded like a devout Muslim, someone that has probably like gone through the Quran and, you know, like an actual cleric. So at this point now, I believe that I've gotten more substance, you know, to like let out next time that I get to encounter such a person. And to anyone listening listening to this podcast right now, you probably also might be like the Muslim man, and then Rio has already broken down what the concept of salvation means and what it will do to you once you come into the fold. So thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, most importantly, to Rio for this
amazing time.
Thank you so much. So as I always say, do not forget to follow us on Instagram at the Christ Center Podcast, and also please send your comments, drop comments, bombard us. Don't worry, I'll have to bring Rio again if you have. I'll bring him back on the podcast so that you answer all your questions.
Always available.
Yeah, so share this episode if it blesses you. Engage on our social media, send DMs, comments, and we'll be sure to talk about everything in the next episode. See you guys in the next episode. Bye.
God bless you.
Bye.
Things have become new. Bible says, though your sin be as red as scarlet, I, the Lord, will make them as white as snow. Come on.
Right.
When men forgive you, men remember. When you do something, they refer to it, but God, Jesus is not like that. Bible says, when he forgives you, he throws your past in the ocean of forgetfulness. Doesn't remember it. If you could use David, if you could use Saul, who can he not use?
Right.
Can he not use? So what it gives you, in summary, all I'm saying is that the benefit of salvation to somebody who decides to be saved is that it gives you a fresh start. It gives you a fresh start. A fresh start. When you begin to walk with God, everything becomes your advantage.
Right.
When I read the Bible and find out that Moses began his work with God at 80, and look at the mighty things that he did. 80 years old. That's when Moses began to do work for God. 80. That means even age is not a disadvantage if you choose to give your life to Christ. There is so much that God can do with your life. So much. That is someone that's 80 years. Imagine you give your life to Christ at 25, 19, 28, 30, 35. You have so much benefits that God can, through your life, reveal in your space.
Right.
Suddenly, I feel the need to say this. If you're struggling with giving your life to Christ, I want to assure you that it's a battle. Yes, I sense this really strongly in my spirit. That if you're listening to this and you feel like you've tried to give your life to Christ so many times, but you cannot. You know, I've encountered people who will tell you, you preach to them and they'll tell you, I cannot give my life to Christ. They are not the ones talking.
Right.
They're not the ones. It is the spirit in them that is speaking. I had the opportunity to hear a story from a woman of God. She said she went to preach to a young man, and he told her, I cannot give my life to Christ. When she went, the Holy Ghost would reveal to her that this young man had a spirit wife. And she interceded for him all through the night. The next morning, the young man came to meet her and said, I don't know what happened, but now I feel like I can give my life to Christ.
Shocking. The young man came to meet her himself and like, I can give my life to Christ now.
Wow, are you serious?
So there is a lot that giving your life to Christ will do for you. So if you are struggling to give your life to Christ, let this be an alarm to you that you can and you should. It is the best decision you would ever make. The best decision. Time will fail me to tell you the so many advantages that giving my life to Christ when I did has given to me as a person. Maybe on a different episode we'll discuss that, but I can assure you for free, I know it like I know my name, that giving your life to Christ is not a disadvantage in any way. Except you come into the fold trying to pretend one leg in, one leg out. But if you come into the fold with your heart open, my goodness, you will look at yourself in as little as 6 months and be amazed at what God has done with you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be amazed. So I can assure you for free that giving your life to Christ gives you the advantage of severing yourself from everything that is Satan sponsored in your life. That is all it affords you. Thank you, Ma.
Wow. I'm so blessed. That was so profound. Wow. I'm sure anyone who's listening right now is, you know, just as blessed as I am right now. Well, thank you so much Rio, for this amazing session. And to everyone, we've come to the end of this episode, and I'm sure you've got questions. I'm sure there are a lot of questions like lingering in your mind right now. I'm sure you have something to say. I mean, you're listening to me right now, you want to make comments, you want to ask questions. I'm going to be tagging Rio's Instagram handle, and if you don't want to reach him directly, you can also send your question to us on Instagram at the Christ Centered Podcast on Instagram. So everyone, we've come to the end of this episode. I was super blessed. I'm definitely going back to listen over and over again, because I'm sure that I, even from what I've learned today, there's so much more I can, you know, go tell other people when I step out there to evangelize. I can answer this valid question of what does salvation mean, or, you know, why should I even be saved? Because I think I've gotten to that. Yeah, and in the last episode, I mentioned that a partner and I went out for evangelism, and then we were talking to one Muslim man, and he had a lot of questions to ask, and this was actually one of the questions. It was like, okay, I mean, you know, when someone is so adamant, you know, the person has never read the Bible before, so he doesn't even know, he hasn't come into the knowledge of the truth. So it was just like all about asking questions, and at some point, anyone who's not strong might even start to question what he or she believes. Do you get it? So one of the questions he actually asked was, why should I say, okay, why are you telling me, like, what makes this better than what I, because the guy seemed to, it sounded like a devout Muslim, someone that has probably like gone through the Quran and, you know, like an actual cleric. So at this point now, I believe that I've gotten more substance, you know, to like let out next time that I get to encounter such a person. And to anyone listening to this podcast right now, you probably also might be like the Muslim man, and then Rio has already broken down what the concept of salvation means and what it will do to you once you come into the fold. So thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, most importantly, to Rio for this amazing time. Thank you so much. So as I always say, do not forget to follow us on Instagram at the Christ Centered Podcast, and also please send your comments, drop comments, bombard us. Don't worry, I'll have to bring Rio again. If you have, I'll bring him back on the podcast so that you answer all your questions.
Always available.
Yeah, so share this episode if it blesses you, engage on our social media, send DMs, comments, and we'll be sure to talk about everything in the next episode. See you guys in the next episode. Bye.
God bless you.
Bye.